Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm Jennifer Richmond, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study. We are in our Acts study, and I'm so glad that you're with me. It's lesson one, and we're on day three. Grab your study, grab your Bible. I'm sure you're already ready because you've hit that play button and you're joining us. But if you're brand new, you have no idea what we're doing, you can still join us. It's a lot of fun. We have a good time. We're going to be going through a few chapters in Acts together today, answering some questions. So stick around. Have a good time. And those of you who are regulars, you know the drill. Grab your Bible and let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much once again for our time together in your word. Let it be profitable, not just for us in this moment to get things done on our list, but to really spend that time with you. Help us to take a deep breath and breathe in your word and to just let it dwell in us richly. We thank you again for our time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to go ahead and switch screens over here so you can see where we're at. Ta-da! You can always get this lesson, by the way, if you haven't already done so, over at jenniferrichmond.com, and you'll have access to print off the lesson or complete it using the PDF, whatever works best for you. So as always in our lesson, we open with prayer, and then we jump right in and write out the meditation focus verse for this lesson, which is Acts 4:12. Let me go ahead and hop over to that. You can see it on the screen here now, Acts 4:12. I'll read it to you and you take a minute to write it down in the box at the top of your page. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Such a beautiful summary of the gospel. All right, back over here to our lesson. Our scripture focus this day will take us from Acts 5 through Acts 8. And here's your tip for the day. Use the footnotes in your Bible for clarification on names and places. Remember footnotes, that's not the same as commentary. Footnotes are the little tiny letters, A, B, C, or numbers, 1, 2, 3. And it gives you information that helps understand the scripture better. So our next step, as always, oh, look at that. That numbering didn't get changed. It starts at 5 instead of 1. You see that always these little things that I end up going back and editing. All right. So we are going to be writing one of the messages, a sermon of Peter's. And so go ahead to the Write the Word pages in the back of your Bible, back of your lesson right now, and write those two verses before you forget. So that way at the end of this lesson, you will have written that entire, or most of it, sermon of Peter's, Acts 2, 17 through 18. Hit that pause button, grab your pencil, grab your pen. Go back to those pages and do it. All right. Welcome back. Here we go. Acts chapter 5. As always, we like to read the questions first so we know where we're going. What was the sin of Ananias? Oh, we got to stick an F. What was the sin of Ananias and Sapphira? Who was Gamaliel? From chapter 6, who were the Hellenists? Describe Stephen. 7, what happened to Stephen and why? And then we're going to just do a short description of these guys. Saul, Philip, Simon, the Ethiopian, underline the word gospel and find some locations on the map. Solomon's Portico, Jerusalem, Samaria, Gaza, and Azotus. As always, and I forgot to do this with you in yesterday's lesson, but and what you want to do is as you're studying and God's name is mentioned and something he's accomplishing, or you're learning about God, Jesus, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and so on, to jot those things as you learn in the side column. What's going to happen is we're going to give this flyover for this lesson, and then we're going to come back in lesson two and we're going to dig deep, and you're going to have these notes already done. We'll have which will have given you this overview, and you'll have a lot of aha moments of things that you were seeing like as if it was for the first time, but you're also going to have a deeper understanding because you've laid the groundwork. You've seen the overview. You're going to understand it so much better the second time through. And for some of you, this might be the third, fourth, fifth, or more, because you've perhaps done this study before at another church or on your own, or even just read through the book of Acts. So let's go ahead and take a look at chapter 5 with the questions here in mind of Ananias and Sapphira, who they are, and this guy, Gamaliel. And someone asked me the other day, how do you remember how to say the names, the verses? And I've read them a lot. That's all. I've read them a lot. And so I'm familiar with them, and I don't always say them right. That's for sure. But I have read them quite a few times, and I try to learn how to say them, and I don't always do a great job, but I try my best, right? Just like you. Here we go. Ananias and Sapphira, chapter 5. But a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he said, why are you judging me? No, he fell down and he breathed his last, dead. And great fear came upon all those who heard of it. Those young men rose up and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. And after an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of them dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem, and more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so they were even carried out the sick into the streets, laid them on cots and mats, that Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to all the people all the words of this life. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to preach. Now, when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison, so they returned and reported, we found the prison securely locked and a guard standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. And now, when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were all afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they sat them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charge you not to teach in his name. And here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. The Lord of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill him. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed with him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. So they took his advice. When they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. Oh, I love that chapter. I can't wait to teach you more and more and more about that and me to understand it more and more and more. Okay, for chapter 5, what's the sin of Ananias and Sapphira? Well, the sin was, holding back, but really holding back and pretending like they hadn't, so they lied. That's their sin. And who is this Gamaliel guy? Well, he comes up at the end of the chapter here. He's a Pharisee in the council, and you can see by his reasoning skills here, quite wise. And this is why he is said, it says he is held in honor by all the people, Gamaliel. All right, chapter 6, here we go. Hop on over and refresh my screen and get chapter 6 ready for you. Chapter 6, now in these days, when, I want to read the questions first. I almost forgot. Who are the Hellenists and describe Stephen? So be thinking as we're reading. Who are the Hellenists and describe Stephen? All right, here we go. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists. There they are. Right, let's look it up. Super easy. See this little A right there? That is a footnote. Here's your footnote. Hellenists are Greek-speaking Jews. Ding! Super easy, right? Good job. So, a complaint arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the day of distribution, and the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolas, a proselyte of Antioch. They set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to increase, and number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it is called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. They could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. They secretly had instigated men who said, we've heard him speaking blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, this man never ceases to speak against words, the holy place and the law. For we heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us. And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Wow, so cool. All right. So who are the Hellenists? We got that. And describe Stephen. Very wise, filled with the spirit. And in this portion here, his face was like the face of an angel. So cool. All right, chapter 7. What happened to Stephen and why? All right, hop over to that. Let the page refresh. So Stephen's speech is recorded here in chapter 7. And the high priest said, are these things so? Now, just a quick reminder as you're reading the Bible, there were no chapter and verses when this letter, this document, was at first recorded by Luke, the physician. He just wrote it. He didn't sit there and write in number 7 and verse 1. Somebody else came in later. So really, if you look at the end of 6, it just goes right through to 7. But it has been divided since then into chapter and verse to make it easier to find. And the high priest said, are these things so? And Stephen said, brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran and said to him, go out from your land from your kindred and go into the land that I will show you. Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him there from there into this land to which you are now living. Yet he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot's length, but promised to give it to him as a possession and to his offspring after him, though he had no child. And God spoke to this effect, that his offspring would be sojourners. And God spoke to this effect, that his offspring would be sojourners in a land belonging to others, who would enslave them and afflict them 400 years. But I will judge the nation that they serve, said God, and after they shall come out and worship me in this place. And he gave them the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham became the father of Isaac, who circumcised him on the 8th day. And Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob of the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him out of all of his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who made him ruler over Egypt and over all of his household. Now there came a famine throughout all Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers could find no food. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent out our fathers on their first visit, and on the second visit, Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and Joseph's family became known to Pharaoh. And Joseph sent and summoned Jacob and his father and his kindred, 75 persons in all. And Jacob went down to Egypt, and he died, and he and our fathers. And they were carried back to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham had brought for a sum of silver from the sons of Hamor and Shechem. But as the time of the promise drew near, which God had granted to Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt until there arose over Egypt another king who did not know Joseph. He dealt shrewdly with our race, forced our fathers to expose their infants so that they would not be kept alive. At this time, Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight, and he brought for 3 months in his father's house. And when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. When he was 40 years old, he came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. And on the following day, he appeared to them as they were quarreling and tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you do wrong with each other?" And the man who was wronging his neighbor thrust him aside, saying, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?" At this retort, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of 2 sons. Now, when 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight, and as he drew near to look, there came the voice of the Lord, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob." And Moses trembled and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them, and now come, I will send you to Egypt. This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and a judge?' This man God sent as both ruler and redeemer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. This man led them out, performing wonders and signs in Egypt and at the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is the Moses who said to the Israelites, 'God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers.' This is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him at Mount Sinai and with our fathers. He received living oracles to give to us. Our father refused to obey him, but he thrust him aside. And in their hearts, they turned to Egypt, saying to Aaron, 'Make for us gods who will go before us.' As for this Moses who led us out from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered a sacrifice to the idol and were rejoicing in the works of their hands. But God turned away and gave them over to worship the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, 'Did you bring to me slain beasts and sacrifices during the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You took up the tent of Moloch and the star of your god Rephan, the images that you made to worship, and I will send you into exile beyond Babylon.' Our fathers had the tent of witness in the wilderness, just as he who spoke to Moses directed him to make it according to the pattern that he had seen. Our fathers in turn brought it in with Joshua when they had dispossessed the nations that God drove out before our fathers. So it was until the days of David, who found favor in the sight of God and asked to find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands, as the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me?' says the Lord. 'Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised at hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it.' Now, when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling onto his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Wow. Oh, all right. So what happens to Stephen? Well, he preaches and then he's martyred. He's killed. Why? Because they reject his very bold sermon indicting them for rejecting Jesus. All right. Finally, from chapter 8, our reading today will be, head over to there. A little bit long in the reading today, isn't it? I know. You guys are great hanging in there. Good job for you, by the way. And an idea on this, by the way, if you have a commute to work, I do suggest that you look ahead and find out what your reading chapters will be and just listen to the word as you drive to work. And when you get to work on your lunch break, sit down and answer the questions. It's a great way to do this study. Here we go, chapter 8. And Saul approved of his execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him, but Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Oh, you know what I didn't do? I did not read the questions first. Oh, this one, that's right. I'm just going to have you tell me a little bit about Saul, Philip, Simon, and the Ethiopian. So be thinking about that as I read. Now, those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed them to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. But there was a man named Simon, who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the power of God that is called great. And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them, and they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on the hands of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Yikes! Whoa! And Simon answered, pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you said may come upon me. Now, when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down to the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way, rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Wow. All right. So in chapter 8, go ahead and describe each person in one or two words. I would love to hear your description of them: Saul, Philip, Simon, and this Ethiopian. And then underline the word gospel in this, because it's the first time gospel appears, and here it is twice, gospel right down here, and I believe, yeah, right up here in verse 25. Underline that in your Bible and make note of it. Always make note of those types of words that come up that you realize, hey, that's never been mentioned before. And then take a moment to find in the back of your Bible, Solomon's portico, Jerusalem, Samaria, Gaza, and Azotus. If you can't find it in the back of your Bible, Google it, look it on up, and then make note of anything that you're starting to learn about God, Jesus, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, or spiritual life, and any other fascinating things you're coming across. I'd love to hear from you what you're learning, what you're enjoying about these chapters so far. So don't forget to drop a comment below in the comment section. And as always, I look forward to hearing from you, and know that until we meet again, you are loved and prayed for. Bye-bye for now.